Hello, and welcome to Territoire Partagé's podcast. Today, we'll be focusing on the role of music inside of contemporary dance classes. You'll be hearing from accompanists Tom Gossage, Charmaine Leblanc, and Patrick Conan. These three wonderful musicians and composers make taking class an artistic experience, not just an academic one. And in our conversations, they shared ways in which they strive to make music that supports the work of dancers and teachers, as well as how playing for hundreds of classes has enriched their own practice. Their observations on the changing approaches to technique are insightful, as are their tips for how dancers and teachers could make the most of working with musicians. Here's a hint. It all starts with listening, and making the distinction between rhythm and tempo wouldn't hurt either. I hope you enjoy.
Okay, well, my name is Charmaine Leblanc. I've played for dance now for approximately 35 years, probably even more. It came by happenstance, really. I'm a theater background person, so I was studying at Concordia University. Mm-hmm. And the accompanist for the dance department, one of the accompanists for James Sayah's class, was sick. Yeah. So a good friend of mine said, would you come and play? And I had no idea what that meant, because I was like, what do you mean play? And I walked in and basically as a joke just started hitting the back of the chair and singing.
Yeah.
And the dancers started flying across the room, and the next day the department asked if I would be interested in working there. But a month later, L'ADMI called, and then Le Grand Ballet called, and I mean, it went on and on and on. The rest is pretty much history in terms of my life.
My name is Patrick Conan. How did I start playing classes? Mm-hmm. My friend Alex McSweeney, who's another drummer, just invited me to come watch a long time ago. It looked like witchcraft to me when I first saw him playing and the dancers moving. I had no idea like what, how it was even working. So I just kept on going and watching, and I met Tom, and then I just learned all this stuff from them, and I just kind of started, like, I'd sub for people. And
yeah.
It's sort of a harrowing experience the first couple of years, you know what I mean? Like hard for me. But it was the only way to do it. Because you can't really practice the trade. Like, I mean, you have your own sort of way of playing and doing things.
Yeah.
But you can't, for me, I mean, like, you can't go home and practice how to play for, because it's so different every time you go in there. The same class the next day, the tempos can be different, the feeling can be different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always like this weird,
Is it improvisation?
Yeah, but I mean, but you have like your set of things that you play sort of, or you're sort of at the mercy of the teacher to a certain extent.
Well, I am Tom Gossage. Technically, I guess before I met Isabel Van Green, I did play one dance class. It was this thing in St. Anne de Bellevue where I lived. And I have three brothers who are also musicians. We got hired to play in a dance show.
Okay.
And so we did 2 years. We did the final show with this American choreographer. I got a call from Isabel Van Green. This is 1982.
Okay.
And she said, could you play? I'd like you to play a dance class with me. Of course, I mean, I really didn't know anything about dance classes.
So did you observe other people, or did you just make it up as you went along?
I just made it up as I went along. And I wish I could have observed other people.
Right.
Later on, I saw a conga player at Pointe Pinu, Isabel was going to Pointe Pinu about a year after that, I think. And I saw a conga player play a class, but it's really not what we do.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to make music, but he just had two drums, sort of old school.
I don't know, it's like a weird thing that's kind of alive when you get in there, and you never really know what
you feel like different doing. Teachers have different expectations of you?
No, I don't feel like there's expectations, really. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to do the best I can. I guess just provide a base for them to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I like to work against it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can be wholly, I mean, at this point now, I can be completely supportive.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can try not to be, and it's kind of fun to play with those things.
Yeah.
You know, I still see my role is to help the dancers. I mean, I mean, there's other things involved. I mean, it's like, how do you help them? What's your idea of helping them?
Yeah.
You know, I have things where I play very obviously, and leg work, you know, jumps, grand battement, things where I think they need help, and then there's things where I can be a little more creative. Adagio, grand plié, rond de jambe, intros, stretching, things like that. I mean, and now there's some more open stuff in class, which is, when I started, there was no open at all, ever.
So you've seen a change.
I've seen a change, yeah.
So open-ended in terms of...
There are no counts.
Okay.
Yeah. Just, I sort of play what I think is appropriate. More texture, I guess, you know, in my case.
Yeah.
I don't know someone who didn't really... A musician who doesn't really deal with texture, what they would play, but for me, it's texture.
I think for me, the fascination became with how can I see movement and interpret it. Mm-hmm. So it became a compositional tool in many, many ways. And very, very shortly after playing for dance, I began to be asked to write for dance. So the whole thing just became kind of like, it was a joke, but yeah, has become a profession.
It bloomed into this whole
thing. It just bloomed into, I mean, I've traveled probably more than 3/4 of the dancers in the world for dance,
yeah,
and played for everyone from Susanna Linka and the Pina Bausch dancers. And I mean, you name it, I've probably played for them. So it's been a very privileged life to work beside some of the greatest people and to learn and continue to learn so much about movement,
yeah,
which for me encompasses what theater is.
Are there things that you've learned from playing for classes that then you can apply to your own craft?
Definitely. Yeah, it's just changed my whole way of thinking. I guess like when I'm playing classes, like I used to think of myself more as a drummer, but now I feel like I'm just providing music or mm-hmm. something. Do you know what I mm-hmm. mean?
So, is it like an ambience or is it...
There can be mm-hmm. that, an environment.
Yeah.
It depends what kind of class I'm playing. If the class is completely open,
yeah,
I could not play drums at all and just play other instruments and uh-huh. play with more pedals and things like that, so I can create more like environments and things uh-huh. like that, or sound.
And do you find, like, since you've been playing for classes, has it changed, like, what people want from you? Or have the classes changed?
Yes, they've definitely changed. There is more open creation in class.
Uh-huh.
So maybe, like, I get the chance to just play what I want and not have to play, like, I don't know,
like a set
8/3 mm-hmm. or, you know, like, 4/7 or something, you know what I mean? So teachers are getting a little more creative, I find,
okay.
or the younger ones. We know, because it's teachers are kind of doing their yeah, they teach like a certain way, and that's mm-hmm. that's also great. That's like a type of class, I guess, or a type of technique, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you notice the way people are approaching technique has changed with different generations?
I think so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the younger generation is potentially more open-ended in what they're proposing, or?
Yeah, not always. No. It really depends on the person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's important for them to start understanding a little something about music
yeah.
as well while we're, so it's I wouldn't call it I'm teaching them, but we're experiencing something together.
Mm-hmm.
So some, like I said, on some of the obvious things, I think if I really, so I wouldn't call it mimic the movement. I guess it's sort of mimicking the movement. I do accents.
Yeah.
And in my mind, anyway, they feel like they are the music if I do that.
Oftentimes, it's like, I don't know if this is 3 or 4, and I often say, you know, just don't count. Let me do my job because
yeah.
I can see it.
Yeah.
So there's a, and a lot of new companies that don't use music at all, which is fine. There still needs to be a resonance that you hear in a mover's body.
Yeah.
So it's like if I'm seeing, you know, someone like Risa, for example, would know her music so well that you can see her dancing Stravinsky, you can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear the piece. Like I can watch people and go like, okay, I can almost hear what they're listening to as they put this together. It's so profoundly clear.
Yeah.
And I mean, music gives you, you know, tempo, it gives you everything really.
I always had the idea that, like in early Graham classes, they use repertoire as
yeah.
in the class. So it was music already, and it wasn't just an exercise. It was really, you're right away, you're preparing to perform.
So the interpretation and the technique are integrated
yeah,
rather than separate
yeah, that
things?
Was, that's sort of my distinction.
It was phenomenal to watch them.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that there's a lot of that is missing today, and I have to say that rapidly because I'm no longer working all over the place. Now I'm at UQAM mostly, It's more of a somatic school, so you don't get the same sort of movement practices that you would at LADNI, for example, which I know is no longer LADNI, but it's shorter. So yeah, it really depends on the point of view of the teachers and where things are taking off from.
So what do you think, or how do you think that dancers and teachers can make the most of working with a musician?
Well, I think they need to know each other, and there's a lot of absence of that as well.
Today
it's like everybody's in their own corner or something. And again, I'm talking like very in a very small way.
I guess listening. I know it's hard for some students at the beginning. They're just concentrating so much on like getting what they're doing together.
Yeah.
I think musicians are there to help to a certain extent. I'm not there to help every way, but it is should be some sort of support as long as same way teacher is,
Musicians in a corner, the dancers are there, and it's like, but when you really know each other, or I think it's important to have a common language.
Yeah.
And if not, like you just try to instill what you can in a class and.
So for you, when you're watching a phrase, like, are you thinking like, how can I support what they're doing? Are you thinking of creating a contrast to what you see? Like,
I'm trying to support the actual movement, the weight. I'm trying to give them what they need to be able to experience that phrase as best as they can physically.
So you observe the quality that the teachers like embodying when they do it, and you're trying to manifest
absolutely.
That through the music.
Yeah, and also what they're saying they're trying to do and all of those things. And again, it's like music has that sort of breath and weight. So if you want somebody to drop, there's a way of playing that. If you want them to like fly, there's a way of singing that. It's really interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's, you know, I like to think that when I'm just singing, even with the trio that I have, that people can feel the movement to it. It's one and the same thing for me.
I feel like one of the things you said that really resonates is just the power of the voice and the breath. And more, I feel like that is really missing from our dance practice. You know, like we're so in our bodies in dance, but working to find breath, but not always getting there. And like, you can't lie with your voice. It's all so clear, and you have to time your breathing, and you have to like, and there's a vibration, and you feel it resonating, and it connects you to other people. And I wonder sometimes how we could.
Well, the breath and movement too is such a funny thing, because when you breathe, I mean, the whole diaphragmatic action of breath is that your diaphragm goes down and your stomach pops out, and dancers are like, oh my God, my stomach comes out. It's like, no. And I'm like, well, yes. And it's like, and to breathe.
Are there things that, like you mentioned Risa or these master teachers, are there things that you notice when you go to play for someone that really work?
Well, I think it's the knowledge of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. It's for me, it's like saying to somebody, you could sit down at the piano and want Bach to channel through your body and you begin to play, but it's like it's years and years of practice and
just
pulling things apart and mastering it. And when you meet a master, you meet a master. And like I said, I've had the privilege of I've become this world-famous accompanist. It's a joke, really. Mm-hmm. For me, it's not to belittle myself, but I've become as good as I am because of the mastery of the people that I've worked with.
Mm-hmm.
Because of understanding, okay, well, that's how that's going to work. That's how they're going to understand that. That's how they're going to feel that in their body. And therefore, I can underline it perhaps in this way or that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the result by watching people move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you see the poetry of dance, you go like, wow, I just did a really good job. And when you see there's something lacking, you search. And I still search.
Yeah.
I mean, I think people find it like, you know, they'll say to Tom and me, you're still doing this. But to me, there aren't very many accompanists. There are musicians in dance classes.
Yeah.
And I'm an accompanist. I love it. And I do it because I love the art form. I want the art form to become not what it's lost, but there's a poetry that is, I think, gone out the window for something else, which in every art form has to for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping that it all comes back and that we really see movers who can move. And that could sound very arrogant, but it's coming from a place of again, having witnessed what happens to somebody who really has a technique in their body. And you go like, wow, that's like, it's magic.
Yeah.
It's magic, it's poetry, it's like watching an Olympic athlete. You know?
Yeah.
And it's special. And I think any artists, we thrive to be at the top of our game. And it's just when you meet people that yeah. have it, you're like, whew. But I mean, you can still have a very human connection and still yeah. have like an incredible knowledge. Yeah. It's like, you know, in order for Picasso to make his children's figures, he was a master drawer. He perhaps didn't see it at all times, but I mean, the man went on to be prolific for a reason.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like without the knowledge, you don't reach those, mm-hmm. Those places.
You're not playing with other people. You're responsible for all the sound.
Yeah.
So like, when people wanting to play class come and watch me and everything, I say, you know, watch what the teacher gives you yeah. and then think of what you would play, because I know how to play. I've been doing it a long time, but don't sit in with me. It's yeah. not going to help you at all. And of course, I sound a bit like a tyrant when I say it, but it's true. I mean, because you're there, you got to come up with something.
On the spot, right?
On the spot. Yeah. And you have to interpret what they're telling you and what you're seeing and come up with a piece of music. I mean, when I started, it was, you know, I used to have notes and everything.
Yeah. Something that I was taught throughout my career, and I now see a little bit teaching, is that, you know, I guess contemporary dance and modern dance wanted to break away from the direct relationship or the literal interpretation that's often used in ballet. So I was often direct to contrast the music, is what I was trying to say, as a performer when I was improvising, to like see myself as another musician and what can I add instead of just interpreting what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm,
absolutely.
But I still, it's not obvious to me how to do that, and I've sometimes encountered when I'm teaching that, like, you know, the musician is playing exactly what I want and the dancers aren't hearing it, and it's almost because it's so there that they take it for granted. And when I ask the musician to pull back or play quiet or just play bits, it forces the dancers to like be on their phrasing mm-hmm. a little bit more.
I'll stop playing completely.
Oh, you will? Okay.
Oh yeah, completely, for like half an exercise and then come back in, and some of them are totally lost and some of them are right in where
uh-huh.
they're, you know, and that's great. So it's like playing with, but it's playing with all those things. It's not being literal. It's more of having, I come from a theater background.
Yeah.
For me, intentionality is what creates everything that's good in anything.
Yeah.
Whether it's relationship in life, whether it's relationship on a stage, whether it's what I see, I really need to feel the emotional intention behind something.
Mm-hmm.
It could be as abstract as all hell.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But if I'm getting what the person was wanting to get, then to me it's a success.
Yeah.
If I'm leaving needing 3 books of tutorials, I feel I have wasted my time.
Right.
And it really bugs me. But again, at 60, you're at a different place too. I've watched more dance than probably anybody's ever wanted to watch.
For you.
For me. Oh, at some points, yes, for me. And theater. So you're like, okay, at one point you see a lot of things and you go like, wow, why am I still moved by this after like 40 years of yeah. watching things, you know, and working in it. So it's that, yeah. And I mean, you know, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
I think clarity and intention and emotion, or we make the world go round, so that's what I look for.
Yeah.
And other people could look for complete abstraction and wanting to get nothing from it, and that's fine too, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'd rather go and connect with something.
Mm-hmm. And like communicate.
Communicate,
day,
absolutely.
If you have a clear intention, then it's something that you can convey to other people and share.
Well, that's it. And yeah. to me, it's that whole, you know, that's what you're doing in a dance class. It's the communication between the music, well, the teacher, the student, and the music.
It seems so clear when you're talking how technique and artistry are not divorced from each other.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
How can they be? I think technique is what you strive to get good at technique so you could throw it out of the fucking window and just do what you want with it.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
I mean, my whole life I've just been like, oh my God, I still don't understand this. But like, okay, even with that, how can I bring something? Okay, let's not stop thinking there and just do the music now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, and I think that's, it's what's so interesting about life is that you have like a full life to figure things out and to, you know, reapproach things differently and to have changes of heart, because nothing is solid, and that's what's so much mm-hmm. fun.
Yeah.
But it's the change in the everyday challenges and all the teachers you meet, and I mean, for me, I'm a musician in the class. I'm not the person teaching. So it's like, whatever they're saying, I have to be malleable to that.
Yeah.
You know, and be at the service of whoever's in front of me. So
it's, I always think it's such a crazy improv. That
it is a crazy improv,
You don't know what's awaiting you, and
Never.
You have to be there immediately to support it.
But that's what's so much fun.
Yeah, it must be. Yeah.
It's so much fun. And that's where a lot of musicians get freaked right out. They're like, oh, I can't watch the movement. And I'm like, well, what do you mean you can't watch the movement?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like so... But that's what you need to, you know, to look at. And I think there should be a school of accompanists. I've always thought that, but people, of course, think I'm crazy in general, so it doesn't really matter.
What would you teach at that school? What would you find?
Well, for people to really be able to observe what they're there for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not at the service of what we can do. We're at the service of what somebody's creating in front of you and teaching in front of you. And so you have to like be one with the movement.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's like if a musician could really look and learn that, they would be, you know, so much better off.
Charmaine, when I was just speaking with her, was talking about how for her it's always intention. That's whether it's dance or voice or music, there's like what is the underlying quality of the thing. And I was just wondering, like, what inspires you? Is it what you see? Is it what you hear? Is it your own feelings?
All this stuff, I think. Yeah, it's a lot of things. And then like music I listen to that I'm inspired by too, or just like artists, and then it sort of filters into my brain, and then I'm somehow expressing that, you know.
After years of observing this, could stand to see more of, or you think that works in terms of dancers and musicians working well together?
Like in the class context?
Class, yeah, like what could a young teacher, are there approaches that you see as helpful for developing dancers, or there are like, you know, types of work? You've seen so many classes over the years, right? Of all kinds.
Yeah.
Are there things that, as an observer to this, you know, world, that you think, oh yeah, that's always great when that happens? Or...
Oh, I mean, for me, a class that has some variety in it really is really, it's just nice, I think, for everybody involved.
I remember in working with you and Isabel together, there was such an emphasis on musicality, and something that really opened my mind was like contrast, like not
opposition.
Trying to almost see yourself as another musician and hear what you're adding.
That's important. I mean, I try and do that when I play a class, but I'm sort of limited a little bit in between. I mean, I'm limited in terms of what we talked about earlier. I mean, I want to help, and I don't get too cerebral about it.
Right.
I mean, but it's nice. I'm like, today there's always something. There's always exercises where you could take it two ways.
Yeah.
You know, I could play more lyrically, or I could play it more percussive. And it's sort of interesting to mix it up during the week, because if you always do the same thing, I think dancers get into a bit of an automatic pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think I help a little too much, but, you know, Emmanuel had me play to not help him. So, and it was, I mean, I said, well, how much do you want me to not help? You know, so I messed it up.
Sometimes they have to pick it up in that sense.
Well, they have to have the music themselves.
Yes.
You know, and that's when I sometimes get a little frustrated. That's when I get frustrated, because, you know, some days maybe it'd be nice for them to give me the music and I just kind of follow along.
Yeah.
But I know I was a student once too, right? There's a lot going on.
Yes.
There's a lot of information going your way.
But I think it's interesting what you said about just like being able to admit what you don't know. And there's something about being a dance teacher that's a vulnerable place in front of a room full of people. You know, you're supposed to be the one in the room that does know.
Mm-hmm.
And but
it's
maybe
impossible to know everything.
It totally is. And it's so much more exciting when you admit your questions to.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, teach, like, it's so funny, even at this point in my life, because I teach all over the world, and I'm like, I teach what I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I then look for what I don't. All sorts of things too, with accompaniment and
and that mastery that you talk about. Like when I was, you know, a young professional, it was that we were all striving to learn. Like it was complex timings and very exacting.
What's happened to that today?
And then there's like electronic drums that you just kind of move through. I like it all, but I would love to have more of a language. I mean, what I find interesting about any kind of art is like conveying a spectrum of things and being able to differentiate them too. And I think that there's a language in music that if we could get a handle on and apply it to dance, that would make us able to articulate more clearly what we're after, mm-hmm. or what we don't know.
Well, I find it really bizarre after the many, many decades that I've worked in movement that there are, I think once, like in the 90s or something, was I ever asked to participate in a class with dance teachers and to just talk about and to work together to see how that can be taken further.
Really?
So it's really, that to me is fascinating. Mm-hmm. It's kind of mind-boggling, mm-hmm. because they're not separate things.
When I was speaking with Charmaine yesterday, she was saying how when she first played for a class, she had no idea what it was, and she just did something. And then she feels like the reason her career has blossomed the way it has is because she has always gone and admitted what she didn't know and been playful about it. And
yeah, no, she was great.
I wonder if us as dance teachers are sort of afraid in that zone of musicality to admit what we don't know in front of a room full of people.
Yeah, it's
you
a
know?
Sort of
and
natural.
It pulls us back.
Yeah, it's a natural thing. I mean, this course, I mean, basically the exam is you have to make a class.
Yeah.
And we sort of, I mean, mark it. We sort of talk about what the problems are. And it's also communicating with the dancers, the students in the class as well. So, I mean, there's a lot. And one of the things is making interesting musical exercises.
You know? Right.
But it doesn't have to be complicated. It just has to, sometimes it's nice to, you know, come up with something that's it's a little challenging, but, you know, musical. So it's
If you delve into musicality, I feel like that's its own whole world.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you're trying to create a somatic sensibility or work on anatomy or work on these other things, it's finding the places where those things meet.
Yeah.
That can be a lot of work.
But also having some tools helps. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, it's like when I compose, sometimes I'll just set up a limitation for myself, and then try and build something around it. I mean, you can do that. You can say, "Oh, I'm going to make something in 9."
Yeah.
How do I divide a 9? Is it going to have? Is it going to be like 9 bars of 3/4? Is it going to be even? Is it going to be slow? So I mean, you
creating
can just say,
exactly.
Uh-huh. I mean, you can come from it from a lot of angles.
Yeah.
You know, and that was cool when they came up with these exercises that were great. You know.
Just putting the focus there?
Yeah, putting the focus there, yeah.
Uh-huh. Where do you think, this is a very general question, but where do you think that music and dance overlap? Like, are they the same thing to you? Do you think that they just, or are they kind of like siblings?
Well, I think they can complete each other. That's mm-hmm. the way I look at it. Mm-hmm. I don't try and make music that stands on its own. To me, it stands. It could, but to me, it's with the dance. So
okay.
I look at them completing each other. I don't really. Yeah, that's the way I think about it. So, I mean, they have a lot of things in common, obviously, but there's. I mean, music is. Well, music can be visual if you're playing live, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I guess part of being an artist is like trying to create something of your own subjective experience.
For sure. And some of the things that we're working on in class, memory, you know, for musicians it's always amazing when you see how much dancers remember.
Yeah.
And because there's no real written
partition or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, there's some forms of notation, but it's not the same thing like handing somebody a piece of music. So, I mean, these are things that I really like to see when a dancer is just concentrating all the time in class, because that's how they're going to grow.
Memory and spatial awareness.
Yeah, for sure.
Nonverbal communication.
Yeah. There's so many great things that it, and dancers are lucky because they, well, lucky, but they're fortunate that they have that place where everybody learns together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes you have it in music, in schools, I guess,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the same kind of culture. I mean, you have ensembles and all. But you're not really practicing together, you're learning music together. It's a bit different.
Yeah. Well, I think this is great. Thank
okay.
you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
ndirlu moko yaay dunya may moko yaay sangani ndirlu ma yaay dunya may moko yaay watin